Welcome again to the Cannabis Investing Podcast, where we speak with C-level executives, scientists, and law and sector experts to provide actionable investment insight in the context with which to understand the burgeoning cannabis industry. I'm your host, Rena Sherbal. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you listening, as always. I'm not sure if everybody listening knows that in the beginning of the year, around March, I started a show on Seeking Alpha called CEO Interviews. Thus far, we've been interviewing a bunch of, well, it started with me just doing the interviews. Now we have a team of expert interviewers. And we have a bunch of cannabis content up there. And our first interview, which I did do for CEO Interviews back in March, was with Oren Shuster, who is the CEO of I Am Cannabis, an Israeli company, but NASDAQ listed, that operates in Israel, Europe, and Canada. You can catch that interview on Seeking Alpha. And today, I guess, would be my part two with Oren. I joined him at a conference that I Am Cannabis organized with a publication here in Tel Aviv called Kalkalist, sponsored, and it was right here in Tel Aviv, so very accessible and really interesting talks from some politicians, regulators, talked to a bunch of business people, some here from outside of Israel looking to do business. I bet some deals that we'll see soon enough coming to the marketplace. But a lot of excitement and a lot of camaraderie in the cannabis industry that I can tell in Israel and that I hear from kind of all the players. A lot of camaraderie because, like so many other places, the regulations are hard to navigate, difficult to navigate, and does a lot to ruin and dissuade people from doing big deals and big business. But the people that have navigated it, that have seen it through, I think are starting to see dividends. I Am Cannabis, you know, is a great case in point. The fact that they're listed on NASDAQ, people know that I've covered InterCure, also a recent entrant on NASDAQ, an Israeli cannabis company. So, you know, pay attention to what's happening out of Israel. I know many of you are listening to this podcast because we've paid a lot of attention to it thus far. And I know in general, so many people are. I hope this conversation with Oren gives you a nice wide lens perspective on what's happening in Israel and also what's happening internationally. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I hope you enjoy the conversations to come. Check out CEO Interviews on Seeking Alpha. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Talk to you soon. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice of any sort. I'm Long Trulieve, Chiron, Isracan Biosciences, the parent company Air Wellness, and the ETF MSOS. You can subscribe to us on Libsyn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. Oren, welcome to the Cannabis Investing Podcast. It's really great to have you. You were on CEO Interviews, but it's great to have you on the podcast. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Rena, for the second time.
Yes. Well, it's nice to do it face-to-face, and it's nice. Right now we're at the Kalkalist, I Am Cannabis conference in Tel Aviv. We were just talking about how exciting it is, how interesting it is. It's kind of a real integration between the political side, the regulation side, and the business side, which I find very interesting because that's all the parts together. That's really the industry. So let's get started. When we talked first, I Am Cannabis was newly public on the NASDAQ. Talk to listeners a little bit about like updates since then and where you guys have been growing and how you kind of see your growth ahead.
So actually we went to NASDAQ about 6 months ago, something like that. Not the best 6 months in the industry. I think that we have seen a significant decline in the industry since then, all across the board. So IMC is part of that wave as well. But, you know, cannabis is not a short-term business. And it's a long-term. It's we see the volatility in the markets. I think that the volatility will continue because it's a young market. And I don't know if you noticed, but with the announcement about the Republicans last week, we've seen the MSOs responded immediately with the market share. So I believe that it will continue like that. For us going to Nasdaq, it's a long-term platform. So I strongly believe in that because the accessibility for investors and new investments, I think that Nasdaq is the best platform for that.
So speaking of what happened last week with the Republicans, but also something else happened with the JP Morgan came out with the regulation that they wouldn't be investing in companies that weren't trading on a major exchange, which is pretty big news, which seems like it would benefit you guys very well, the fact that you trade on the Nasdaq. What are you, both of those things in conjunction though are interesting, how they're playing out. How do you as a CEO think about it and see it going in that way?
So regarding JP Morgan, I don't think that it's big news because most of the institutionals are not in the market. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's mostly retail market now with a very small institutional participation. So there is an impact, definitely. I think that it's more psychology impact than anything else. And I don't think that it will be a long-term impact on the industry. People that believe in the industry will continue to invest, and people that are afraid will sit and wait. On the other side, what happened with the Republicans might be something very significant and a very significant change. That the fact that it came from the Republicans means a lot. And I'm sure that it will make a long-term impact on the market.
Do you think those two things have anything to do with each other, the fact that they came out so close together?
No, I think that it's accidental. JP Morgan came before that, and I'm sure that the Republicans, it wasn't an answer for JP Morgan.
Right, right. Do you feel like there's a reason why JP Morgan came out? Because as you said, there's something about it that doesn't feel like a big deal, but then the fact that they came out and said it, and you know that it's going to play with share prices, there does seem to be some kind of point. Do you feel like there's something underneath that they're trying to play with the retail investors, or how do you kind of see something underlying that?
No, I think I don't know what happened with JP Morgan and why they've said that. I think that the volatility of the industry is something that bothers many investors.
Yeah.
Because if you're looking at solid investors, they want to know that they're putting the money, and if it's long term, then they want to sleep well. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not simple to see such a volatility. If you're looking at the market, I don't know the percentages, but most of the companies went down by 50% or something like that, you know. And it happened while the results, especially of the MSOs, you know, the execution is there. So I think that the fact that JP Morgan went out might be even connected to that. I don't know if it's risk management or what stands behind that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's the reason behind their statement.
Mm-hmm. So sticking for a second in the States, you guys play in Israel, in Canada, and in Germany. I would say Germany and Israel may be interchangeably one or two in the medical market in the world. So you guys play in legal markets. Are you looking at the States yet? Last time we talked, you weren't even looking at the States. As it's coming closer, is that something you're looking more at?
Unfortunately not, because everybody understands that it's the biggest market and it will continue to dominate the world, actually. I think that the market that we are in, we have competitive advantage, especially in Israel and Germany. It's young markets. There is plenty of room to grow in those markets. So in the near future, we'll continue with the strategy. We have done acquisitions in Canada to support our strategy to be able to get premium products into our main markets, which is Israel and Germany. By the way, Germany is for us the hub for Europe. It's not only Germany, it's the EU market. I think that companies that work in those markets, which are highly regulated, very tough standardization, we have competitive advantage in those markets, and we are going to use this competitive advantage in the coming years. And those markets are way, way far from being mature. So there is plenty of room for us in those markets in the coming years.
So talk to us a little bit from the acquisition side. Investors have seen you guys do a couple of acquisitions recently. We were just hearing from some CEOs that you've done deals with. How do you think about, and we were also just, they were just talking about consolidation, that in Israel or really internationally, consolidation is going to be the name of the game, just like it's been in America. How do you see that? How do you think about acquiring or partnerships? How do you foresee that?
I strongly believe in M&As. IMC have done a few M&As this year. We acquired two companies in Canada. We acquired a few retail stores and distribution in Israel. We have done it in the past in Germany. We will continue to do it, although in the short term now we are focusing more on integration and operation. We have done those M&As. Now we want to make sure that we are enjoying the synergies, the cost saving, and so on. So in the near future, our focus is more internally, and only when we will feel that we are strong enough, we will continue with M&As. Not just to do M&As, because it fits with the strategy. It's a young industry. What we've done until now, we build actually an international supply chain network. Starting in Canada with manufacturing for the Canadian market and export first to Israel and later to Europe. Israel is growing internally for the local market, and later we will send products to Germany. And in Germany, we just finalized the build out of our logistics center that will be the hub for the EU market. We have the EU GMP facility in Germany that can take bulk products or any other products into the market, do the processing over there, and release to the market, to the German market, in just in time approach, or send it to the rest of the EU. So that we build actually the infrastructure in all those countries. It's a long process. I think that now we have to make sure that it's working efficiently.
The supply chain, kind of shoring up, building up the supply chain, is a really timely conversation because of what's happening in the world. Certainly COVID didn't help anything. Was that a focus because of COVID? Was that a focus just because of the cannabis industry? You need to have a strong international supply chain. Was it more just from that?
No, it wasn't because of COVID. The strategy started before COVID. At the end of the day, you need quality products. You need distribution, you need sales. So our company is a completely vertically integrated. And because we are working in few markets, what we wanted to have is a supply of quality and premium products that we will be able to sell through our network. Obviously, we can buy also from others, but we are fully independent today with the infrastructure that we build.
And something that I found really interesting that you brought up in your talk just now was comparing Michigan to Israel in terms of geography, in terms of there's a lot of commonalities. In listeners to this show, I hope know that Michigan is the number three market in the states,
true,
which is surprising because it's not the number third largest state. So I found that comparison between Israel and Michigan really interesting because Israel isn't a big country. It has a huge amount of cannabis consumption. Talk to us about kind of where you see Israel growing. I just heard a lot of speakers talk about the power of the Israeli cannabis industry and how there's a lot more room to grow, but also how much the regulatory side kind of shackles a lot of people. We've seen the importing, exporting open up. I know this is getting to be a long-winded question, but we've seen some of that open up, kind of the regulatory side open up. How do you see it growing? What's your take? How positive are you? How much more room do you think there is to go in terms of figuring out how to really succeed in this part of the world?
First, regarding Michigan, I've done it because there are many similarities between Israel and Michigan. Michigan have started very early with medical plan, and so when the legalization came to the market, it was already mature market regarding medical patients. Mm-hmm. So they had the infrastructure, they had companies over there, competition. So because of that, I think that the legal market very quickly become the third market in the US. Although Michigan is far from being the third country by population. And Israel have started with medical plan very early. There is industry here in Israel. We have a complete ecosystem in the Israeli market. So I think that the Israeli market might be very similar to Michigan, assuming that the regulator will let it happen. So I strongly believe in the market. I think that Israel is different from Michigan because of the research, innovation, and the fact that in Israel, in any hospital, like I said earlier, in any hospital, in any university, you can find research about cannabis. And those investments in R&D will be beneficial for the coming years. So I think that if the market in Michigan is mainly consumer market, the Israeli can be a hub for innovation and technology. And I don't think that Israel will be a huge exporter of flowers to the world. But definitely Israel can be high-tech hub for cannabis, like it is high-tech hub in other places. You know, Israel, if you look at cyber, auto-tech, ed-tech, and so on, is so strong. I don't see any reason that it won't be similar with cannabis.
And what are your thoughts in terms of legalization here? Are you encouraged by the new government? Or do you think it's something that's going to happen within, you know, the next year? How do you think about that? And what do you think it's going to do to the market, that legalization, if it comes soon?
So we here, and we had ministers today here, there is a strong support for cannabis in the government and in the coalition. We heard in the news that the coalition, the Likud, is want to bring the legalization for voting. I think that the fact that the coalition and the opposition are pro-cannabis is a very positive sign for the market. And I'm sure that we will see the impact of that in the market. I believe that, first of all, we will see significant increase in the number of patients in Israel. And even if the market won't go for full legalization, I think that it will come in the back door. Because at some stage, I believe that the number of patients in Israel will be so significant that even without legalization, they will have to legalize the market in order to organize that as a legalized market. So I don't believe that we will see full legalization soon in Israel, but I believe that we will see like full medicalization of Israel, and it will be on the borderline between medical to recreational.
Full medical, you mean like it won't be so hard to get a medical license as
it is now.
It won't be so restrictive.
Exactly. You know, in Israel, most of the people maybe don't know, but Israel is very unique because the black market is more expensive than the medical market.
You know, people listening to this on CEO interviews last time didn't believe that you said that, and I sent out like a backup. Show people like how you're coming up with that, like what you're leaning on, because not everybody believes that that's the case, because it's not like that in most of the world.
I know. Israel is very unique in that aspect. It's the only market that I'm familiar with that's the situation. I think that some of it is because of the geography. Israel is a small country, most of it is desert, it's very easy to monitor illegal grows in Israel. So most of the illegal grow is happening in the desert illegally, and some of it in apartments that people are growing and selling in the black market. It's not a massive grow that is happening out there, and the demand is very high. And, you know, no one can cross the borders with cannabis because the army is guarding the borders. So there is artificial situation in Israel. And because of that, the black market is very expensive. And today, if you want to buy medical products that are selling in pharmacies in Israel, you can buy it in the black market, but you have to pay more than double the price of the pharmacy, which is ridiculous. So there is a strong support for legalization in Israel, and I believe that once it will be easier to get prescriptions, we will see huge increase in the number of patients in Israel.
And do you think that will push the regulators to legalize it. It'll be the numbers that push it. What do you think kind of transpires to get them over the hump?
Yeah, I think that when you're legalizing market, you're putting the regulations. For example, don't open dispensary 100 meters from school. In the market today, you don't have such kind of restrictions because it's not a medical market. So I believe that with the quantity of patients, once it will be so significant, they will have to regulate that.
And do you see it going? Well, I guess it's a little similar and a little different. I was going to say, do you feel it's going to go the way that Canada went when Canada went legal? Or do you think the fact that they'll have the medical more built out, it'll already be kind of a stronger market and so a stronger ecosystem, and so we won't run into the same problems that Canada ran into?
I think that the market for the market in Israel, legalization will take longer than Canada. Israel is very complicated here with the demographics. So I think that it will come in the back door, not straightforward like in Canada.
We talked a little bit about share prices across the sector going down, lack of momentum. How do you, as CEO, how do you think about kind of the share price going down since last we talked? And how do you talk to investors about that?
So nobody likes to see his investments shrinking. On the other hand, cannabis is long term. We've seen the decline in the share prices all over the industry without seeing results that justified such a decline.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a question of momentum and timing. I believe that we will see many changes in the coming years in the industry. And look what happened, in the last day of trading for the MSOs, just because, the press release of what is happening with happened with the Republicans. It's clear that it's young industry. Everything can change the valuations. If we are looking at the valuations of the companies, it's still small companies. Even the biggest companies, if you look at the broader market, are relatively small. So I believe that we will see it in the coming years. It's not for you need strong heart, yeah. To be an investor in this industry.
Yeah. To be an investor, to run a company, you need to be strong of heart, strong of spirit, very nimble. How do you do you think that the U.S., these kind of, these releases, these kind of getting closer to legalization, do you think those are the things that's going to help the share prices across the sector, no matter if you're playing in the States or not? Do you think that's going to be the thing to kind of get us back in the increase?
I think that today it's about the sector. So if there is good news for portion of the sector, it's good news for the sector. Because people then believe more that cannabis will be part of the day-to-day and part of the economy. So I think that, good news is good news for everybody.
And I wanted to just touch on the legalization aspect. Do you feel like the cannabinoids that are non-psychoactive will come to market before widespread legalization?
I think that today it's very difficult for regulators to distinguish between non-psychoactive cannabinoids to psychoactive because there isn't enough research on that. So I believe that in the short term it will go together for the regulators. We can see, for example, in Europe, CBD. CBD is today gray area in Europe. Mm-hmm. Although it's not psychoactive and you can see it in every corner almost in Europe. So I think that the regulator usually are more conservative, and I don't believe that it will change soon.
And parting words for our audience, do you feel like as investors we're not paying attention to something that we should be paying attention to, either with IM Cannabis or in the sector? What would your kind of parting words to investors be?
So I think that first of all, we see that the industry is growing all the time. and growing significantly even. So I strongly believe that it will continue like that. We can see that some countries, like in Europe, are going much slower than anticipated, but it doesn't matter. Even if it will take longer, we are going in the right way. I believe that we will see legalization all over, I mean, North America, Europe. Obviously, it's a question of time, but for companies that work in the industry and active in the industry, actually, it's the best thing that can happen because it gives us time to build the operation, to be stronger. What IMC have done in the last 2 years, for example, we couldn't have done that if it would have been open market, fully legalization. Now, if legalization will come, we are very ready for that. And we have huge competitive advantages. So it sounds maybe ridiculous, but the longer the legalization will take, the better for the active companies in the industry.
That's a great place to leave it, and I would agree, and it's something that we've talked about on the podcast before, how, you know, the longer that you have to build a better operation, the better it's going to be. So
yeah, definitely. I feel it, because we see it in the operation. It will reflect in the numbers, and definitely it's good for the companies.
Yeah. So keep the faith.
I'm a believer.
Yeah. Thanks, Oren. I really appreciate it. Great to see you. Great to talk to you again. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Rena. Let's say every 6 months.
Thanks so much for listening to the Cannabis Investing Podcast. Subscribe or follow us on Seeking Alpha, Libsyn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Stitcher. And we'd really appreciate it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other investors find our show and makes us feel fantastic. If you have feedback or questions, we'd love to hear from you at RenaPlus, C-A-N-P-O-D, at SeekingAlpha.com. That's R-E-N-A, the plus sign, C-A-N-P-O-D, at SeekingAlpha.com. Thanks so much for listening, and see you next time.